Thank you so much, Vivekananda Mataji. Really appreciate your invitation and your kind introduction. And it's amazing you all are coming together and discussing this is the best way. The Bhagavatam says, Satam prasangan mama virya sambhava bhavantirit karna rasayana katada. When you come together and you discuss about Krishna, then three things happen. Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishyati. The first thing is Shraddha increases, your faith increases. Second thing is Rati comes about, which means attraction. And when the Rati matures, then Bhakti flourishes, devotion, which is dormant within our hearts, is awakened. So this is really the process. So it's really wonderful. And what we'll do today is we'll do a very quick summary of chapters 1 and 2, but I'm going to give more time for all of you to ask questions and perhaps ask for more clarification on points that may come up in the first or second chapter. Is that okay, Divya Gaurangi Mataji?
Yes, absolutely, Prabhuji.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
so it will only work if all of you ask questions. So please do have your questions ready. You can put them in the chat as they come to your mind, or you can keep them in your minds and then we'll address them later on. So yes, let us do a recap of the first two chapters of the Gita. Om Gyanatimirandhasya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीमिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशकारिणे Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Chalo Prabhupada Ki Jai. If you look at the Gita, spiritual literature generally has a similar structure. So as we begin today, I just want you to compare the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and see how there is a similarity between them. In both of them, the very first part, in the Gita, the first chapter, in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, what happens is that the conversation doesn't even begin. The first chapter of the Gita, the first canto of the Bhagavatam is simply like a preface, is simply like setting the scene. And so we can see this similarity. If you look at the Gita and the Bhagavatam, then the essence of the knowledge, the most confidential thing, always comes in the middle. So in the Gita, the most confidential knowledge comes in the middle. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee. And in the Bhagavatam, the most confidential knowledge comes in the middle, the 10th canto. But 10th is not the middle, 6th is the middle, right? But if you actually look at the number of verses, then when the 10th canto begins, that's when the number of verses is right about half in the Bhagavatam. So you can say 10th canto is the middle. Bhagavatam went on for 7 days. After about 3.5 days, the 10th canto began. So the essence is always in the middle. If you look at the Gita and the Bhagavatam, then what happens is after the essence is given, other knowledge is given which helps us to live in this world. So in the Gita, between chapters 13 and 17, 18, the last six chapters, many things, three modes, divine and demoniac. So similarly, in the Bhagavatam, 11th and 12th cantos, Uddhav Gita, many amazing insights about how to live in the world. So literature follows a similar structure. So today we are discussing the first and the second chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a conversation. And the first thing to understand is, if you want to have a conversation with someone, first you have to remember that you have to listen, right? Krishna is going to advise Arjuna, but in order to advise someone, the first thing you have to do is listen. If you don't listen, this is a good tip for you in life. You know, if anyone comes and says, I want advice, then make sure first you let them express what they want to express. You know, because the first thing is, then you get the full picture. Second thing is, they clear all of that information from their mind, so their mind now becomes open to hearing something. And the third thing that happens is, because you took the time to listen to them, they have the trust that, oh, now this person knows everything. Whatever they say, it will be for my good, because they took the time to listen to me. So Krishna, when he wants to, he knows, Arjun, this guy needs help. He's completely bewildered. He's, you know, but the first thing Krishna does is he just listens. So in the first chapter of the Gita, Krishna doesn't even say one word. Krishna just listens. Krishna is God. He's antaryami. He says, bhavishyani cha bhutani mam cha vedana kaschana. I know past, present, future. I know all living beings. But even Krishna takes the time to let Arjuna express himself. Krishna doesn't say, hey, look, Arjun, you don't need to say anything. Let me just give you the answers. I'm the supreme person. No, no. Krishna says, you express. So Arjun, he says so many things, isn't it? He gives so many arguments in the first chapter why he doesn't want to fight. He says, Krishna, compassion. I don't want to fight because how can I cause harm to others? He says, sinful reaction. If I kill others, it's pop. I'll get reaction. Third thing he says, if I fight, there's no enjoyment. If I win the fight, everyone will die. So who will I enjoy the kingdom with? No enjoyment. And if I fight and I lose, I die. Where's the enjoyment in that? Fourth thing he says, Krishna, if I fight in this war, I'll destroy our elders. When the elders are destroyed, the traditions will be lost. The family will go into irreligion. Society will become degraded. How can I fight? And finally, five is indecision. I don't know, Krishna. Should I fight? Shouldn't I fight? I have no idea. So basically, the first chapter in Sanskrit is known as Arjun Vishad Yoga. You understand the word Vishad means depression, dejection, frustration. So the first chapter of the Gita is the yoga of depression. Put your hands up if you're interested in doing the yoga of depression. You can advertise at Harrow Leisure Center. Yoga of depression. Maybe not so many people will come. How can you say yoga of depression? Depression is yoga? Krishna says, if in your depression, if in your dejection, if in your frustration of life, it causes you to question what is the meaning of life, then that depression becomes a form of yoga. What does yoga mean? Connection. So in life, if you're going through difficulties, if you're going through challenges, if you're going through times when life just doesn't make any sense, realize that these times can be the times that connect you to God in the most powerful way. Because the first chapter of the Gita is the yoga of dejection. Prabhupada even translates in the purports that Arjuna was depressed. Nowadays, we see in our world today, depression is such a big thing. Maybe even some of us on this call, we may not even know, but we have also gone through times where we feel these feelings of depression. So we should not be scared. These things that come, they can also help us to improve our life. One final thing I'll say about the first chapter is this. Arjuna is right next to Krishna. He's so close to Krishna. However, even though he's so close to Krishna, he still has so many problems. He still has so many confusions. He still has so many doubts. Why? Because he may be close to Krishna, but in the first chapter, only he's speaking. But later on in the other 17 chapters, what will he do? He'll begin to hear. So the very deep lesson of the first chapter is, you can be close to Krishna, but that in itself won't solve your problems. Along with being close to Krishna, you have to hear from Krishna. Imagine how many thousands of people come to Bhaktivedanta Manor every year. How many of us grew up in a family where we were so close to Krishna every day? Krishna was in our home. How many of us grew up with a Bhagavad Gita in the living room or a Bhagavad Gita in our room? Many of us were close to Krishna for our whole life, but we still had problems. But the moment we began hearing from Krishna, that's when the problems get solved. So it's not enough to come to a temple and take darshan. It's not enough to have a picture of Krishna in your house. It's not enough to just do the puja and the rituals of religion. Yes, that means you're close culturally, but it's not enough. You have to hear. So the first chapter of the Gita just sets the scene. It's the yoga of dejection, Arjuna's dejection. And now in the second chapter, Krishna will begin to give the answers to Arjuna. And I'm sure many of you may have heard on our Gita Life courses or others, but I'll summarize it in the same way as I usually do, because I think this is the easiest way to understand the second chapter of the Gita. So if you want to know the second chapter of the Gita, all you have to remember is the word Gita. Okay? The second chapter of the Gita is the contents of the Gita summarized. It's the whole journey of spiritual life from beginning to end. Krishna has condensed all of the knowledge of the Gita actually into the second chapter, and then later on he will expand on it more. But actually the complete journey is given in the second chapter, and the word Gita will remind you of what that journey is. G stands for Guru, because the spiritual journey only begins when you accept a Guru. I stands for identity, because the first thing that the Guru will teach you is not what stocks and shares you should buy, not what country you should live in, not who your son or daughter should marry. The first thing the Guru will tell you is identity. Who are you? T stands for two dharmas. Because once the Guru teaches you who you are, then he can teach you what is your dharma, what is your duty in life. And Krishna teaches that there are two dharmas. And A stands for Atma Ram. Atma Ram literally means one who finds happiness, but happiness from within. So if you do your two dharmas perfectly, you will find eternal true happiness. This is the whole spiritual journey. How you begin, the first thing that you learn, what you then have to do and practice in your life, and what the perfection will look like. That's it. That is the journey of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the second chapter of the Gita is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. So let us take each one of these bit by bit. Again, I'm not going to speak long. I'm going to ask all of you, then we'll have question. But because Mataji asked me, I'll do a summary. G stands for Guru. Okay? What is Krishna? Arjun has given all his arguments. He's put all the arguments on the table. Krishna is just smiling. Arjun is saying, you're just smiling. You should help me. Then what is Arjun? He looks at Krishna. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prachamitvam dharma shamudha cheta yatrayashane shchitam bhuvitanme shishyaste ham sadhimantvam tapannam. You understand the word shishya, isn't it? Shishya means someone who wants shiksha. Shiksha means instruction. So Arjun looks at Krishna and says, Krishna, don't just smile. I'm confused. I have no answers. Shishya steham. I want to be your disciple. Sadhimam dvam prapannam. I surrender. Krishna, you give me the answers. I won't be able to find the answer myself. So the most amazing thing that Arjun does in his confusion is that he surrenders to Guru. In each of our lives, there will come a point where we have existential confusion. You understand? Existential confusion means you begin to question, who am I? What is life about? All of these things I did, it didn't make me happy. You'll begin to question life. Everyone in this world will go have their Arjun moment when they have existential confusion. Now, when you have confusion of life, it could go in two directions. Either it can lead to existential crisis, isn't it? Some people break down, they have mental breakdown. Or existential confusion can lead to existential awakening, where you realize, oh my God, there's something much better I can do with my life. There's a higher purpose, a higher reason. What will depend whether you go this way or this way is whether you get the right instruction, whether you get the right inspiration, whether you get the right guidance, whether you get the right answers. And to get the inspiration, the guidance, the answers, you have to approach Guru. So the most amazing decision that Arjun makes in the Bhagavad Gita is the decision to ask Krishna for answers. Because when you make that decision and you open your heart to actually hear from Krishna, then everything else will work out. So for all of us, what does it really mean in our life? Have we accepted Guru? Yes, we've accepted Srila Prabhupada as our Guru. We read Srila Prabhupada's books and we take guidance from there. And we have many other devotees in our life who are guiding us. And then at one point in our life, we will decide to make a commitment to a Diksha Guru and then take initiation. So like this, throughout our life, we will contact many, many gurus. And all of these gurus will help on our journey. Guru means heavy, heavy with knowledge. So guru can give the... Guru also means etymologically to remove darkness. So the guru removes the illusion, isn't it? We say Om Jnana Dimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya, that my Guru opened my darkened eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So remember, as Arjuna is going on his journey, we are going on our journey. Let us take a check. What gurus do I have in my life? Yes, I have Shastra, Prabhupada's books. Which Vaishnavas do I have in my life who are guiding me, who are helping me, who are inspiring me? Which Vaishnavas are there who I can go to if I have questions, if we need to develop relationship with Guru? And remember, Guru is not just one. Vande Gurun. Gurun means plural. There can be many Gurus in your life. One Diksha Guru, many Shiksha Gurus can be there. Okay? So that's simple. Arjuna surrenders. And then, what does Krishna teach? The first thing Krishna teaches is that if you want to be happy, if you want to be out of your distress, the first thing is you have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what is your nature, then how you will be able to know what will make you happy is such a simple point. But people in the world just miss this point. They copy what everyone else is doing. They do what everyone else is running after. They seek the same things, but they don't stop to ask themselves, who am I? And so this very basic teaching Krishna gives, but very, very profound, Krishna says, we know. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara. Tatha dehantara prapti dhirasta tranamuniti. Our whole life is based on the mind and body, isn't it? You just walk down the high street, okay, and look at every shop. Every shop is practically about the body and the mind. You walk down the street, Primark, what's it about? Clothing the body. You walk a little further, Sainsbury's, okay, food for the body. Okay, you walk a little further, video games for the mind. You walk a little further, Boots Pharmacy, what medicine for the body, mind. You walk a little further, hairdresser for the hair, appearance, everything for the body and mind. The whole world is revolving on the body and mind. Krishna says the body and mind is a dress. You are the soul. You have to care for the body and mind, no doubt. But the soul is who you actually are. So if you really want to know how to find happiness, you have to understand this point very, very deeply. That this life is a chapter. This body is a gift. And there is a bigger purpose than the body and the mind. We have to take a stock and check how many of my endeavors in this world are just aimed at gratification of the body and mind. Even after you come to Krishna consciousness, still so many concerns about the body and mind. Of course, we have to care for the body and mind because we need to have a stable situation in this world. But we should not invest our hopes that in increasing the comfort of body and mind will bring any more happiness. It won't. We'll be let down. Therefore, this comedian Jim Carrey, he said, I want everyone to become as successful and famous as me just so they can realize that none of it brings any happiness. So Krishna gives this very deep knowledge. So many things we can say about the soul. And then Krishna goes on. If you know you're the soul, it changes everything. It changes life. It changes how you live. And therefore, T stands for two dharmas. Krishna says, as soon as you know you're a soul, it means then you can understand dharma, isn't it? Dharma comes from the Sanskrit root dhra, D-H-R, which means to hold, to sustain, the essence of something is dharma. So Prabhupada would often say the dharma of sugar is to be sweet. The dharma, isn't it? One time Prabhupada was walking in the park and it was freezing cold. And there were, you know, these like ice puddles that turned to ice. So every time Prabhupada would walk past one of the frozen, then he would smash it with his cane. One devotee would, he saw him doing it a few times. He said, Prabhupada, why are you smashing every time the ice? He said, because the dharma of water is to be fluid. This ice condition is artificial. The dharma of water is to flow. So the dharma of something is its very essence. So Krishna says, we have two dharmas. We have a swadharma and we have a sanatan dharma. Swadharma means the dharma or the duties of the body and the mind. Yes, you have a family. Yes, you have a certain psychology. Yes, you have certain responsibilities. So those swabhavik dharmas have to carry on. Not that now you read the Gita, you just take sannyas and walk away from. No, Krishna says you must carry on. But then alongside that, Krishna says, sanatan dharma, you have your eternal duty, your eternal journey that you're on as a soul. So sanatan dharma means shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmani vedanam. Hear about Krishna, chant, read, do puja. Remember, every morning, wake up early before the world has begun moving. And remember, I am not this body. I'm not this identity. I don't live in Watford, Harrow, Wembley. I am a resident of Vrindavan. I live in the spiritual world. I need to go back there. We need to begin with this vision in life. This is Sanatan Dharma. So Krishna says, somehow or other, difficult as it is, challenging as it is, you have to live a life in which you fulfill both of them side by side. Is it difficult? Of course it's difficult. No time, less energy. You can't make everyone happy. Sometimes it feels everything is conflicting. Your dharma, svadharma, is conflicting with your sanatan dharma. You want to go to the temple and they want you to come to the wedding. You want to spend money and donate it for Krishna. They want to spend money on something else. How you will balance it all? You have to keep everyone happy. How to do it? Good luck. It's not easy. What to say? You know this story, Narad Muni? Once he came to Vishnu and he said, you know, his Narad Muni is a Mahajan, isn't he? He's such a great soul. But the great devotees, they think, say mane Krishna mora nahi prema gand. When you have love for Krishna, you think, nahi prema gand. I don't have one drop of love for Krishna. If you actually have love. So Narad Muni was thinking, I don't have any love. So he went to Vishnu, he said, Vishnu, you tell me, who is Sacha? I want to know who is the foremost devotee, who is doing amazing in their spiritual life. You tell me, so I can learn from them. So Vishnu looked, he scanned the horizon, and then there was one farmer. And so Vishnu said, he's the one, he's a great bhagat, he's a great devotee. Narad Muni says, my God, there's so many sadhus, there's so many ascetics, why you point to him? He's just a he's a nice person, but he's a simple farmer. What's so spiritually exalted about him? So Vishnu said, okay, here's a pot of oil. And it was full to the brim. He said, Narad Muni, I heard, Narada Muni, Bhajaya Veena, you go with your Veena traveling across the universe, you do one thing, you take this pot full of oil right to the top and you take it on your travels. But if you manage to come back without dropping one bit of that oil on the ground, then I'll answer your question. I said, okay. So Narad Muni took this pot of oil, you know, full. Now you have to travel all across the universe and come back without dropping one bit of that oil. So he was going, traveling, concentrating deeply not to drop, you know, one little bit. Finally, he came back. Vishnu said, so you're back. Did you manage? He said, I did it. Not you check. Not one drop. Vishnu said, very good, very good. He said, now, what were you doing? What were you doing while you traveled across the universe? He said, I was concentrating. He said, yeah, you were concentrating. Did you do anything else? He said, no, it took all my concentration to make sure I didn't drop anything. He said, but you're always chanting Narayan's name. You were not chanting. No, I had to. How you can expect me to chant? I had to concentrate. Then Vishnu said, look at that farmer. He has to balance a family. He has to balance money. He has to balance so many social duties. But look closely at him. What is he doing? And he was chanting Krishna's. He said, so, therefore I told you, he's balancing so many things and still he's chanting. You just had to balance this one pot and you see how much concentration it takes. So therefore you should understand he is a great devotee. So Krishna knows it's difficult balancing it all. But when you manage to do that and you still remember Krishna, then wow, then Krishna's attention is Sri Krishna, Karishim, Krishna becomes attractive. Krishna means all attractive, isn't it? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, all attractive doesn't just mean that Krishna is attractive, but it means that Krishna is attracted by the service of his devotees when he sees that despite so many difficulties, they're still trying to call out my name. So, don't feel bad if you have some struggle in balancing it all. In that struggle, you will attract Krishna's attention. So Krishna says to Arjuna, two dharmas you have to do. Somehow or other, you try to do it. And Krishna says, you know what, Arjuna? If you become perfect in doing these two dharmas, then you will become an Atmaram. You will find happiness from within. You will become satisfied from within. You will find happiness from within. You will no longer be affected by the world, by the roller coaster journey of life. You will have a peace of mind and an internal happiness that no one can hijack. Krishna says, Dukeshvanu Dvignamanaha Sukeshu Vigataspraha Vitta Raga Bhaya Krodha Stita Dhir Muniruchate. Krishna says, even if you experience the most extreme calamity or you achieve great success and happiness, you will be equal in mind. Vitta Raga Bhaya Krodha, attachment, that will be gone. Raga, bhaya, fear, that will be gone. Krodha, anger, that will be gone. Imagine tomorrow you will wake up and you have no attachment, you have no fear, and you have no anger towards anyone. Can you imagine what such a life will be like? That is happiness. But that is a different type of happiness. That's Atmaram. That's the happiness of the Atma. Because Krishna says you will connect. And so this is what we seek. And this is the journey that Krishna is giving in the second chapter. And he's outlining to Arjuna that you've begun this journey now. You approach me as guru. You understand deeply I, identity, who you are. Meditate, reflect. When you understand you're the soul, you have to look at your life and you have to reprioritize everything. Two dharmas, do your duty, your swabhavik, your sanatan, side by side, and then see how your life becomes full of happiness and full of joy. And this, in a nutshell, is what the Bhagavad Gita has to offer. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, although the technical chapter of the technical name of chapter two is Sankhya Yoga, actually. Sankhya means analysis. But Srila Prabhupada in his Gita, he gave the title Contents of the Gita Summarized expertly. Because if you look closely, G-I-T-A, this is the whole journey on which spiritual life is going. Okay, so this was very quick recap, and all of you already know these points. I can see many stalwart Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis on the call. So perhaps you have some question or something you would like to know more about, and then we can go into more detail. Yeah, over to you, Divya Gaurangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for this wonderful summary and enlightening us so nicely on chapter two. And it's so easy to understand when you explain. So that's really a good fortune to have you today with us today. So I would request devotees, they can raise their hand, they can unmute and ask questions. You can unmute and you can ask anyone, or you can raise your hand, or you can put it in the chat. Any questions? Prabhuji, we must take this opportunity because this doesn't happen so often. He's here with us. So.
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji, and I'm joining after many, many days. Thank you very much. And I thoroughly enjoyed my reflection about Guru, the Guru which removes the darkness, and the meaning of Gita was very well explained. Krishna, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna to work dharmically so as to become Karma Yogi.
Yes. Okay, are you asking? Is Krishna recommending Arjuna to become a Karma Yogi? Karma Yogi? Yeah. Okay. So let us explore
that.
In the
chapter maybe. 2, is it Karma Yoga?
Yes. Very good. Very good. Okay. Good question.
But let me explain. I have joined after many, many days.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Okay. So our teachers, Gita is split into 18 chapters, isn't it?
Yeah.
18 divided by 3 is 666, okay?
Yeah.
So what the acharyas explain is that the first 6 chapters are entitled Karma Yoga. The second 6 chapters are entitled Bhakti Yoga. And the final 6 chapters are entitled Jnana Yoga. In modern terms, what Krishna is teaching is how to live, how to love, and how to let go. This is the easiest way. Karma Yoga means how to live in this world. Bhakti Yoga means how to develop love. And Jnana Yoga means how to let go, because ultimately everything in this world is always changing. So you have to become detached. So Krishna first teaches Arjuna Karma Yoga, how to live in the world, how to live in the world, how to dedicate your activities to God, how to become free from reactions. Krishna tells Arjuna, yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. All your work should be yagya. Yagya means sacrifice dedicated to God. then lokoyam karma bandhana. If you don't do that, then your karma bandhana, it will bind you, entangle you in the world. So does Krishna teach Arjuna to be a karma yogi? Yes. But then what does Krishna go on to teach? That the goal of living and working in this world as a karma yogi is so that eventually bhakti, love comes. Because love is the ultimate yearning of the soul, isn't it? We are not just in this world to make sure we don't get bad reactions. But we're in this world because we want to find true love. But working in this world through karma yoga helps us to develop our bhakti. And then the jnana yoga chapters are there, letting go, because it helps us to leave our attachments behind. So if you imagine the Gita is like a sandwich. In a sandwich, there is bread on the bottom and bread on the top, and then there is the filling. Now, what is the sandwich known by? The sandwich is always known by the filling, isn't it? Tomato sandwich, or a cheese sandwich, or I'm not going to say any non-veg ones. Paneer sandwich, tofu sandwich, isn't it? If someone says, oh, what are you eating today? You say, I'm eating a bread sandwich. I say, every sandwich has bread. You don't eat a bread sandwich. We want to know what's the filling. That's the main thing. So karma yoga and jnana yoga is only there to ultimately lead someone to bhakti, because bhakti is the desire of the soul. So yes, Krishna does teach Arjuna to be a karma yogi, but ultimately the journey is to become a bhakti yogi. Because Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam sameyog tatamomataha. Yoginam api sarvesham. Take all the yogis in the world, the bhakti yogi yukta tamaha is the most intimately connected with me in love. So Gita means live, love, and let go. Okay? I think Vinu Mataji had a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for that explanation. Your words are like nectar. Every time I listen to you, it's fantastic. I think you've answered one part of my query, which was that if there's yoga, like the bhakti yoga, karma yoga, and the jnana yoga, is there a hierarchy? Because obviously, if ultimately they all lead to bhakti yoga, then we want to develop that love. Part of the question is that do you need to have karma yoga and jnana yoga to develop bhakti? Or can you just have bhakti and be in this society?
Yeah, very good. Very good question. Okay, let me just quickly share my screen. I hope you'll be able to see. You have asked a question that requires a whole entire seminar. And maybe that's for another day, but essentially, yes, the Gita talks about many, many different types of yoga. And each of these yogas you can see here on the diagram, they are leading progressively to higher and higher realizations of God. And then here you see the culmination is bhakti. Because Krishna says, bhakti amam abhijanati, there's no other way to know me except through bhakti. So now your question is, do we have to go step by step? So Prabhupada says, if you rented out the penthouse suite on the 100th floor of the Hilton, you got two options. Either you can walk up the staircase or you can take the elevator. It's up to you. But I know which one you're going to take, right? So there are some yogis who go step by step and gradually increase their realization. But Srila Prabhupada and following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the followers, they gave us the express path whereby we live in the world, we continue our duties, but we're practicing all the angas of bhakti as our main spiritual sadhana. And therefore, you're practicing bhakti yoga from day one, and you're practicing it in such a way that it will lead you to the ultimate culmination. So the short answer to your question, which would require a longer explanation, is yes, there are many types of yoga. Different types of yoga give different types of realizations, and some will go step by step. But in our movement, in our tradition, the great opportunity is that we've been given access to bhakti, and specifically Nam Sankirtan, which is said to be the most powerful anga of bhakti, the most powerful. And you do it from day one, and it takes you all the way to that level of realization.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, there are some questions in the chat. Shall I read out?
You read out one by one.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the first question is in the chat from, let's have a look. The first question was from Priya. What if we are not initiated? How can we try harder to be steady in sadhana?
If you are not initiated, that doesn't mean your spiritual progress is not happening. Simply by being committed to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, you will be making advancement. If you're not initiated, then this is my advice to you. Number one, continue developing your relationship with Srila Prabhupada. That never stops. Read his books, hear his lectures, watch his videos. Fall in love with Srila Prabhupada. You'll never meet a personality like him, and develop a very close relationship with him, number one. Number two, begin hearing. There are many, many saintly souls, okay? The saints are not just the people that we read about in the books who lived 500 years ago. The saints are even living today. There are very many sadhus around, and if you hear from them, then you will gain inspiration. So the second thing is hear from the sadhus, from the gurus. Then the third thing I would say to you is pray. You have to come in front of Krishna like Arjun came. And he said, you know, Krishna, I need a guru. Without you, I won't be able to go forward. So we have to pray to Krishna that, Krishna, I need help. Please send someone. Please send a spiritual guide who can give me instruction that will touch my heart and push me forward. And after you've done those three things, then you have to wait. And Krishna will make all arrangements. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By Krishna's arrangement, someone will appear in your life. It's a very exciting moment. It's a very inspiring experience. And don't think it will not happen to you. It will happen to you, but you have to want it. And if you show you want it by first establishing your relationship and following Srila Prabhupada, to hearing attentively, Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavirastane, find a Vaishnava and hear from them. And third, pray. Say, Krishna, I think I'm okay. I'm not okay. I need help. Please send. So I hope that. And then, how can you be steadier in sadhana? I mean, this is a big question. So many things can be said. Be with Vaishnavas. Be with devotees. Okay, this is my basic answer. Walk with the sadhus, the saintly, and sadhu doesn't mean like saffron, shaved head. Sadhu means anyone who is practicing Krishna consciousness seriously. This bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhu reva, Krishna says, if they're engaged. So walk with the sadhus, take the path outlined by the great souls and always keep Krishna as your goal. Then everything will work out. And then you will be steady. It will all come. So association is everything.
Thank you so
much. I won't answer longer because so many other questions are there and then time is limited.
So I'll request Kirtika Mataji to unmute and then I'll go back to chat questions. There are questions in chat thereafter. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Ruji, for this summary of the first and second chapter. And Ruji, in the second chapter, the essence, Krishna says, fix your mind onto me. So, Ruji, it is very difficult. Even while we are chanting, we can't fix our mind onto him. Leave aside doing all your activities, even if you have a pot of oil, making sure a drop doesn't go down as you had given in the example. So how do we, Prabhuji, how do we fix our mind onto him? Because at least me, I'm having great difficulty even while chanting to fix my mind onto Krishna.
So thank you, Mataji. Very nice question. If you want to fix your mind on Krishna, a few things are important. First thing is, you have to hear about Krishna. It's very difficult to fix your mind on someone you don't know about. It's very difficult to fix your mind on someone whose personality hasn't touched your heart. It's very difficult to fix your mind on someone if you don't know what they look like, what they do, what their activities are, what their likes are, what attracts them. So Srila Prabhupada gave all of these books so we can actually find out who is Krishna. Prabhupada said in some religions, they say God is great. He said, that's nice, but they did not tell you how God is great. So Prabhupada said, I'm giving you God's name. I'm giving you God's address. I'm giving you God's daily schedule. I'm even revealing what's in God's mind to you. You have to take advantage. So the first thing is, if you want to fix your mind on Krishna, first you have to know Krishna. Second thing is, if you want to fix your mind on Krishna, you have to calm your mind and take the mind away from all of the disturbances and agitations of this world. And therefore, one of the important principles that Krishna gives in the Gita is live in sattva. You see, when you live in goodness, mode of goodness, your environment is in sattva. The food that you eat is in sattva. The schedule that you live in is in sattva, then the mind will be much more calm. And then it will be much easier to direct the mind to Krishna. So lifestyle is also very, very important. The third thing is that if you want to fix your mind in Krishna, you have to do abhyas, sadhana, every day. And what happens when you do sadhana? The mind wanders. But what does Krishna say to Arjun? Yato yato nischalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyam yetat atmanyeva vasamnayet. Krishna doesn't look at Arjun and say, Arjun, you know, if by chance your mind wanders. No, Krishna says, when your mind wanders, I know it's going to happen. Krishna says, when your mind wanders, nischalati Atmanyeva vasamnaya. Just keep bringing it back. The problem is not that the mind wanders. The problem is that when the mind is wandering, we don't bring it back, but we let the mind wander. So, Krishna is just saying, keep trying to bring it back. And by that practice of bringing the mind back continually, gradually the mind will become much more able to stay with the meditation of Krishna. Yeah, so in summary, if you want to fix your mind on Krishna, first thing is hear about Krishna. Second thing is live a lifestyle of sattva in which your mind becomes much more calm. And third thing is do the sadhana and the abhyas, the practice. And if your mind wanders, which it will, just keep bringing it back. And don't worry, over time, it will stay with Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhuji.
Yeah, all right. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Okay, so Prabhuji, one more question from Monica. What can we understand when Krishna says one can attain spiritual life in 1 second or may not attain after many, many births? How does this relate to today's world?
Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction, I believe, writes, advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent on the attitude of the follower. Attitude is everything. Krishna consciousness is, one devotee, he once said, all everything that we're reading, all the service that we're doing, all the tapasya that we're practicing, all the mangalartis that we're attending, all the preaching that we're doing is just so that one day we can sit in one corner of the room and chant one name of Krishna and observe one genuine teardrop of love fall from our eye. If it comes to that point where you can give your heart to Krishna, then it's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. How long does it take for one teardrop of love to fall from the eye? It's 1 second. But the heart must become soft. So how long does it take for the heart to become soft? That may take many, many births, isn't it? Bhagavatam says, Tadasma sadam ridayam bateidam na griyamanair harinam adhyayai. Harinam, if you're hearing harinam, na vikriyeta, and there's no transformation in your body, if you're chanting Krishna's names and you don't shiva, if you're chanting Krishna's names and tears are not falling from your eyes, if you chant Krishna's names and your hairs are not standing on end, there can only be one conclusion. Tadasma saram ridayam bade. Your heart has become steel framed. Our heart has become like steel. There's no emotion. So Krishna consciousness means to make the heart soft. And so, how long will it take? It's all dependent on how, isn't it? How seriously? How long does it take to graduate from university? Well, if you keep failing the exams, it may take you your whole lifetime. Or if you put in an extra special effort, you can do it in half of the time that people usually take. Depends on you. Depends on your attitude. Depends on your endeavor. Depends on your urgency. We come to Krishna consciousness, but then we're dragging our feet, isn't it? Yeah. So then it may take longer. So Monica, it's up to us.
Yeah, that makes sense what you said, the way you explained it.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Next question, Prabhu, is from Reena. I have a question about practical application of Nishkam Karma in everyday life, she is asking.
Okay. Do you want to say more specifically what the question is or generally just...
No, Prabhuji, I can elaborate on that. Hare Krishna. Yes. Basically, what you said about doing Swadharma and Sanatan Dharma. So Swadharma, you said, do your prescribed duties in life. And in that case, when you do your prescribed duties and you go through life, you have to interact with a whole lot of people in relationship to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can, as people who are not very spiritually advanced and who are just kind of like neophytes, we come, you know, we sort of expect to get a little bit of gratitude and appreciation, especially from people who are advanced in age that we interact with. And when we don't get this in return, we do tend to feel hurt, or like, you know, we our patience and forbearance is taken through the test. So how do you practically apply the principles of Nishkam Karma in this case? Hare Krishna.
Oh, thank you. Very nice question. Yeah, so we're still looking for appreciation. We're still looking for validation, acknowledgement from others while we're living and working in this world. And that's natural. The soul wants to have relationship. The soul wants reciprocation. The soul wants to serve, love, and feel the love of others. We exist on love. The real answer is that as we develop our relationship with Krishna more and more, then what will happen is, because in the horizontal, in the vertical relationship with Krishna, because we're drawing so much love from Krishna, as we develop that connection more and more, we become so filled with Krishna's love that then when it comes to the horizontal relationships of this world, then we interact with people, but we interact with them in such a way that we're just ready to serve. We're not expecting to get anything from anyone, because we don't have a vacuum in our heart, because we're being filled by our relationship with Krishna, you see. But when we don't have that love from Krishna, when we don't feel the connection, then we're looking for things from the relationships of this world. So husband and wife may come together and yes, they have some love, but also they're looking for something from each other. Yes, parents have children and there's a lot of love and exchange, but they're also looking for something from each other. Friends come together and there's a lot of love, but there's also some motivation is there. But when we begin to experience our love with Krishna, we become so filled by that love that we can interact with people in this world selflessly. And when we interact with people without any motivation, then we'll actually experience true relationship with them as well. And so it's really about developing a deeper connection with Krishna and seeing everyone as a part of Krishna, and becoming an Atmaram, becoming satisfied from within. Because then what happens is we're not looking for external things to gratify or validate our life.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. There are so many questions in chat. So now it's about picking. But then I found one question. Maybe a lot of us have this question. May I ask, Prabhu?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So it was 1 minute. It's just, where is it? Okay. It was, it's from Pooja. We recently had a bereavement. One family member keeps saying, "Why God has done this to me?" I tell her that it has nothing to do with Krishna. We live and die depending on factors like karma, desires, etc. Am I being hard with my relative?
When we are dealing with a situation in which someone has a lot of emotions, philosophy doesn't always reach the heart immediately. So what we have to do when someone is in a lot of pain, they are not in the right state of mind to necessarily hear philosophy. So when someone is in a lot of pain, then we give them friendship, we give them comfort, we help them in practical ways. And then when their emotions settle, then we can, because we have relationship and they have become somewhat little bit more calm, then we can talk more philosophy. in people's emotions, sometimes they ask questions of philosophy, and we feel, therefore, I have to give them the philosophy. Although they ask questions of philosophy, they may not be in the emotional state to understand the answers, and we have to be sensitive to that. So what I would say is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we have to just be there with people in their difficult times and comfort them. And the time will come when they're open more to philosophy, and then we can give that philosophy at that time. So, you know, when I used to go when I was a kid to get an injection, and you know, there's always this, like, when she gonna put the, you know, maybe all of you experienced it with COVID jabs. You're like, so what they would do is they would just have it there, but then they would speak to you, they would say some story, they would crack some jokes, and then when you're least expecting it, they would just come in. So that you didn't feel like, oh my God, it's about to come. It would go in and come out and you wouldn't even feel it. So when we're sharing Krishna consciousness, we have to know when is the right time. It's all about timing, right? And so let us be a little sensitive, because yeah, people go through so much. Arjun heard the whole Gita. And then what happened in the middle of the Kurukshetra? His son Abhimanyu was killed. He was caught in the chakra vyuha of the Kauravas, isn't it? Surrounded. When Arjun found out his son died, then they immediately, Krishna took his chariot there. And when Arjun saw Abhimanyu died, what did Arjun do? He broke down and he cried. Now, when he cried, what did Krishna do? Did he look at Arjun and say, hey, Arjun, dehino smin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara? It's the soul, don't lament. No, Krishna said, no, it's natural. I gave you all this knowledge, you know the knowledge, and still it's natural that you lament when someone leaves this world. But what did Arjun do? He lamented, he cried, as anyone would cry. But then all of that knowledge, he got up, he picked up his Gandiva bow, and he started fighting again. So it's natural that people will have emotion. So we must know the right time and the right way in which to communicate the message. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
I'm okay to carry on, but I don't want to hold everyone. So if anyone needs to log off or we need to terminate, you just tell me when, because Swadharma, you have to balance all the dharmas, you know. Otherwise, they will say, I'm giving the class, but while hearing the class, the dishes are piling up in the kitchen and, you know, there's Swadharma to do.
So yes, I know we are very grateful. I'm happy to stay as well. So those who wish to stay, please stay. And I'm going to read out more questions from the chat. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for keeping the time for us today. So there is another question from Hema Rupini Mataji. How can we preach new people about Krishna consciousness? So in the sense that which is the first big book that we should recommend them to read?
Okay, what is the order of the books that devotees should, or that we should give to people to read? Okay, let me just share with you my screen. Just give me 1 second. There could be different ways of approaching this, but if you go on the Tattva website, tattva.co.uk, maybe Divya Gaurangi, you can put this in the chat, then there is a book there called Bhakti Life that we've put together. And one of the things that we show in Bhakti Life in the back of the book, this is how to practice Krishna consciousness. You can download this book for free. This is one progression that you could potentially use to guide people in reading Prabhupada's book. So level one, there are some small books which give a foundational philosophical understanding. And then level two is more philosophical, detailed Bhagavad Gita. Level 3 is practice of bhakti yoga, nectar of devotion and so on. Level 4 is developing our relationship with Krishna and Prabhupada, these books, and then Bhagavatam, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the general progression I would recommend for anyone to go through. But ultimately, what to say, Prabhupada said, the books are like gulab, isn't it? Gulab jamun. If you eat it from this side or this side or this side, ultimately it's sweet everywhere. But if you want to learn systematically, then this can be one progression you can use. So you can download this PDF. It's called Bhakti Life. It's on the downloads. And that may give you more insight on that.
Thank you.
Tatva.co.uk, yeah?
Okay.
That's fine, no problem, no problem.
Okay, Prabhuji. There is one more question from Veenu Mataji again. When Krishna says, give up all religions, what does that actually mean and how do we apply that in our life?
Yes, so this is why you need to read Gita with others, because sometimes it can feel there is contradiction. In fourth chapter of the Gita, what does Krishna say? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham. Krishna says, when there is adharma, I come to this world, and what do? Dharma sanstar panarthaya, I establish dharma. That's why I come to this world. So in the first, fourth chapter, Krishna says, I come to establish dharma. In the 18th chapter, what does Krishna say? Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam raja. Krishna says, give up all dharma. Give it up and just surrender to me. But Krishna, you came to teach dharma. No, now I'm telling you give it up. So what does it all mean? So there are different ways to look at this. The first thing is that, well, let me just give you one main answer to this, because we can analyze this in many ways, but let me just give you the main answer to this. When Krishna says dharma sanstapanarthaya, then he is talking about religious duties which will help you to become purified. Okay? When Krishna says sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam raja, what he's saying is that all of the religious duties that you do are so that ultimately you can attain bhakti. So which one is true? Both of them are. Should you follow dharma or should you give up dharma? You should follow dharma, but then ultimately that dharma should lead to bhakti, and when you have bhakti, you don't need to follow any of these dharmas anymore because it's achieved its perfection. Yeah? Does that make sense? So when Krishna says, give up all varieties of religion, he's saying, now give up all of these rituals, give up these things that you do just, you know, out of practice, and now just develop surrender and love, because that's the ultimate yearning of the soul. I hope that helps.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much. One more question was from Chandrika Mataji. Prabhu, you mentioned that we should listen. But often our mind is chattering and we don't listen. So any tips for that?
This is while chanting, you mean? Is it?
Chandrika Mataji, would you like to unmute and ask?
No, Prabhuji, often we drift away when lectures are going on, or I find like even I was trying to listen to Guruji and Prabhu's lecture and I had to replay it a couple of times and it's just not always straightforward, you know.
Oh, the mind... okay, so while we're listening to class, the mind is going and yes, what to say, it's... one devotee said to me, my mind during the japa time is like a horror movie. So what to say? So many things are going through the mind, so many worries, anxieties, past, present. It will take time for the mind to become calm, you see. Therefore, what I would say, Chandrika, is similar to what I said about someone else asked about how to fix the mind on Krishna. Number one is we have to become more attracted to the philosophy, more attracted to Krishna's words, more attracted to narrations of Krishna. And how does that come about? Just by hearing more and more and by hearing from the mouths of people who have attraction. The second thing is you have to try and live in sattva. So if we're listening to a lecture and our life is very passionate, everything in our life is out of balance, you know, then that chaotic lifestyle means when we come down to listen, our mind will also be chaotic. So we have to try and create a life in sattva which is more peaceful. Then we'll have more chance when we hear or chant to be more present. And the third thing which I said also relates here is when you're in class, yes, your mind will wander, but just keep bringing it back. Write notes. Sometimes what we do in the Brahmacharya Ashram is after morning class, some devotees will come together over breakfast and they will share with each other everything that they learned or points that came out from the class. And in that way, we recollect. So you can use different techniques like that as well. So, yes, it will take time. Just keep listening. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, all this nectar and for, clearing our doubts. One question I had, Prabhuji, is when we were discussing Bhagavad Gita, one Mataji asked this question that whether is Buddhi Yoga, because Buddhi Yoga is mentioned in second chapter, right, Prabhuji, by Krishna. So is Buddhi Yoga Nishkam Karma Yoga or is it Bhakti Yoga?
Okay, so...
So okay, we need to basically
another,
understand.
It's a good question. It's a technical question. But okay, so let me explain. No, that's fine. Okay, so when Srila Prabhupada talks about Buddhi Yoga, then he uses this term like interchangeably. So sometimes when he talks about Buddhi Yoga, he's talking about Karma Yoga. Sometimes when he talks about Buddhi Yoga, he may be talking about Bhakti Yoga. Buddhi Yoga is not actually, if you look in, remember I showed you that yoga ladder? If you see, Buddhi Yoga is not actually one of the steps on the yoga ladder. Buddhi Yoga means a yoga in which you're utilizing your intelligence. Buddhi Yoga means a yoga process in which you're incorporating transcendental knowledge. So if someone's practicing karma yoga, but in their karma yoga, they are factoring in transcendental knowledge in how they practice that yoga and function in the world, then they are doing Buddhi Yoga. Okay? They're doing Buddhi Yoga and karma yoga, both. Because you can see like... they're a subset, like they're connected in that sense. If someone is doing bhakti yoga, they're doing bhakti shastri, they're learning all these things, they're coming, they're also doing buddhi yoga, but their primary focus is bhakti, but they're also factoring in transcendental knowledge. So when we talk about the word, you have to see what context this is in. When we talk about Buddhi Yoga, it's really talking about any yoga process in which we are factoring in any kind of transcendental knowledge like that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So,
do you want a clarification on that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just want to say what I understood and then you can tell me whether I've understood or not. Because I think what you have explained to me is that a Buddhi Yoga is it is incorporating your knowledge, your Buddhi, the intelligence, but transcendental knowledge should be there. Plus Nishkam Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga should be there with transcendental knowledge. So that is Buddhi Yoga. But Bhakti Yoga, one more aspect is devotion. The bhakti is there.
Yes.
Is that right? Plus what Buddhi Yoga has.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Buddhi Yoga means any process in which we are utilizing our intelligence and transcendental knowledge.
Very nice. Thank you so much. Thank you, Prabhuji. Any other questions anybody has? Let me see in the chat. Wow, Prabhuji, you've given us so much time. And we are so, so grateful. Veena Mataji has raised hand. Mataji, you can unmute yourself, please, and ask Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Sorry for taking more time again, but I have to ask this question. I think it's one of the most prominent ones that we're finding it difficult. Following a sattvic lifestyle, obviously intoxication, all the rest of it is fine. But when it comes to food, one of the things, if we've been like introducing onion or garlic, if we've been offered food or given food from a relative, let's say, and they use onion and garlic, is that, would you say, prohibited, number one? And also, number two, if we are following a sattvic lifestyle with the dairy industry in this country, the way, you know, milk and everything is taken, it's inhumane. So is that still considered sattvic, or what should we be doing? Hare Krishna.
Okay, yes, Vinu, thank you. These are two very important points, and it's not straightforward. So on your first point, onions and garlic, somehow or other, for Indians to give up onions and garlic is a challenge. Right? They can give up everything else, but my God, to give up onions in, you know, is difficult. So you see, you are living in a social context. When you come to Krishna consciousness, everything about you changes. Yeah, your life changes, your lifestyle changes, your desires change, your dress changes, your daily schedule changes, everything changes, and your family is still the same. And they're looking at you thinking, my God, she's changed, we're the same. And it can create a very difficult situation. When I was practicing Krishna consciousness, my mom, just one day she came to me and she said, can't you just be normal? I said, it's too late, mom. I'm in this now. It's too late to be normal, you know. So you see, you have to be very sensitive with family. You know, you can't just, if immediately you just say like, no onions, no garlic, throw it all out, you know, then it will create a distance, you know, and it will make it more hard. You know, we need to function with people on a day-to-day basis. You can't be fanatic. At the same time, we have to try and protect our consciousness. We have to try to live as far as possible. What can I say, Vinu? You know, it's something you have to balance. You have to know, like, some battles, you have to let them go. You can't fight every battle. You know, you have to win the war. And so you have to know which points to stay strong on, which points to be a little bit compromising about. And ultimately, you've got to move on in Krishna consciousness and get closer to Krishna. So some devotees, they just accept it that, you know, my family has been tolerant in many ways, and let me also be tolerant with them a little bit and just go with this for now. And then over time, they phase it out. And other devotees, they take the other approach. I can't say what is right. You know your situation the best. What to say, you know, one time Prabhupada was at a life member's home and they served the devotees prasadam. And the devotee was next to Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, there's onions. Prabhupada said, there's not, eat it. He said, no, Prabhupada, there's onions. And Prabhupada said, there's not. He said, no, Prabhupada, there is, look. Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter, just eat. because Prabhupada knew they've gone to all this effort, you know, they give their heart, you know, to try and serve the Vaishnavas. And if no one eats now, they'll feel so bad. So Prabhupada said, don't worry, just eat. It's a higher principle. So you have to know the principle, yeah? Okay, and then your second point, should we all be drinking milk from Sainsbury's, from all this factory-produced milk in which there's so much violence and we see so much going on? On this, again, different devotees take different positions. Some devotees have become ahimsa vegan. You understand? Ahimsa vegan means they will only take dairy products which are ahimsa, cows which are protected in our farms. And if there's any other dairy, apart from that, they will not take it. They will practically be vegan unless it's ahimsa. So that is one route that some devotees have taken. Other devotees, what they feel is that milk is such an important part of our diet. Prabhupada says it's the miracle food. By taking milk, you're developing finer brain tissues, which help in spiritual life. And so, you know, ahimsa milk is not always available. Ahimsa milk, let's face it, is expensive. We'll take the milk, but we'll offer it to Krishna. And in that way, although the pain is there, but let me give you one third option, which I think could be the middle part. If you're not able to only drink ahimsa milk, one thing that I know devotees do is what they do is they buy milk from the supermarket. But what they say is that for every liter of milk that I buy from the supermarket, I will donate 10 pence or 20 pence towards Gauraksha. So over the course of 1 year, however much Lakshmi has come, 500, 600, 700 pounds, according to whatever milk you had, you donate that for the protection of the cows. And in that way, in every liter of milk that you're buying, although there is pain, although there is violence, you've offered it to Krishna, number one. And the second thing is you've acknowledged that there's a problem here. Therefore, I'm giving something towards Gauraksha that will make a permanent solution.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the beautiful words and advice. Thank you so much. Hare
Bol. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I think there is one question. Sorry, one more from Hema Mataji. Mataji, is it a comment or a question? Not compromising on anything that sits on your chit. Is that a good idea? You there, Hema Mataji? Do you want to unmute?
Yes, I was. Sorry, Hare Krishna. Sorry. I was just asked, you know, when Mataji asked about what should you compromise on and what you shouldn't. And I was thinking things like movies and things, watching movies that kind of leave impressions in your mind. Yes. Those might be worth avoiding because they just linger on, don't they? Is that a good idea? I'm just asking what else similar to the movies and things that we should totally avoid. There's no compromise there at all. So I'm asking Prabhuji.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yes. Well, one thing is I would say we have to be very reflective. Like we compromise on certain things and then we will see that it's having a negative or an impact on my consciousness. And then we have to then make a decision that, you know, do I have to be more strict on this? So as Hema Mataji is saying, you know, sometimes things like movies, and we have to also be very careful. Like, some things we make a compromise on and we say, oh, it's because I'm trying to keep a good relationship. But we may just have an attachment. Like secretly, we may also like some onions also, like maybe. Or we may say like, oh no, I'm watching a movie with them to kind of build a relationship so that we spend time together. But secretly, you also want to watch the movie. It's not like, you know, oh, they're giving me chocolate. What can I do? I have no choice. I have to have it now to keep the relationship. But we may not want that also. So we also have to be honest What are we doing that we're doing for a higher principle of relationship? What are we doing to use an excuse for our own attachments? What are we doing and what effect is it having on our consciousness? I think, Hema Mataji, it would be difficult for me to give a definitive list of what you should compromise and what you shouldn't compromise. Of course, you know, certain things are just, you know, meat or intoxicant, like we just don't go there, you know, but other things, you know, yeah, we just have to be very conscious, as you're saying, because it leaves an impression on the mind and in the heart. So yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And discuss it with devotees. They can also tell you, like, no, you don't need to compromise on this or like that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We could just go on, but we have to. So we really hoping, Prabhuji, that you will all come again to our Wednesday group and please enlighten us, because there are so many more questions we all have. But my one limitation is on this computer, that when the recording goes beyond 1 hour, I don't know how it will convert or how I will save. So there is a risk, but let's see. Because I really want this recording. You have enlightened us and answered so many of our questions. So we will keep it for next time. Please join everybody. I'll again share the invite and do come next time when Prabhuji comes again to our Sangha on Wednesday. So Prabhuji, I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I feel totally unworthy for your association, but I for some reason, some sukruti that we always have you guiding us at the manor and otherwise on Zoom. So thank you so much for that. And yeah, we want to say three Haribols to you and then Navanchakalpatarubhyasha afterwards. So everyone can unmute and say your thank yous or whatever.
Hare Krishna, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all. Thank you.